I've never met this woman, but I can tell you that I love her material. I've been using her tape. I've been using her workbook in teaching and helping support people move forward in their listening skills. I tell people all the time that I think one of the most important skills you ever can develop in doing network marketing is, of course, becoming a great listener. And it happens to be one of those skill sets that I think is the absolute least trained skill sets in the history of mankind. We learn how to listen to what our parents do, and from them, that's all we ever get, unless you go into some counseling degree or ministry work where they actually have courses on being able to listen. But other than that, I was a lawyer, and I had more school than I care to admit to, and no one ever taught me how to listen. And all I did was learn from my mom, and I was pretty pathetic until I came across the trainings at Carol and some other self-development courses that helped catapult me forward into acknowledging my issues. And awareness is our first step to change, and then doing something about it.
Mary Jo, I am absolutely thrilled. Lydia, at least by email anyway, that I have yet to come to Dallas. I've not ever done anything in Dallas, Texas, so hopefully from this call and inspiring some interest in the listening work live, that I will have an opportunity to do some work there.
Yes.
I'm going to start this call from two premises. One, that a number of the people on this call certainly have been exposed enough to listening that I am not going to talk in terms of what are listening skills. And the second is that the quote from Carl Menninger, which is, listening is a magnetic and strange thing. It's a creative force. The friends who listen to us are the ones we move towards. When we are listened to, it creates us, it makes us unfold and expand. And I'm adding productive. The thing for me about listening, the main item about listening, is the distinction between listening and hearing. What a lot of people distort, or I say dilute, they collapse the distinction hearing with listening. And many people say they can multitask and listen. That is erroneous. Nobody can multitask and listen. And the reason that they cannot do that, it's physically impossible. The reason they cannot do that is based on a principle in physics, which is no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So when you are listening, you can't be doing anything else. Now, you can be hearing, and all of us have the ability to hear and do all other kinds of things as we are hearing. So when someone says to you, did you hear me? The absolute answer is yes, I heard you. Now, did you listen to me? No. Because listening takes up its own space. It actually brings a person present. Most of us, and this is part of my research in terms of where I got my doctorate, the work that I did to receive my doctorate, most people are not present, and I'm going to give you a very sad statistic, 99.9% of the time. And so what's going on for them, what passes as listening, is hearing. So what are they doing? They're hearing 25% of the time and making up the rest of the conversation. And what do I mean by making up the rest of the conversation? Well, they're filling in. They're waiting for the person to finish so that they can answer the question. They're waiting for the person so that they're clear that they're going to speak directly to what the person has just said. However, they can't. They can't speak directly to what the person has said because they haven't listened, which is the distinction. Listening is a very simple process, and it's not an easy one, and it requires 24/7 every nanosecond practice. And when I start to work with people in terms of listening, they go, 24/7, you got to be kidding. I can't do that. Yes, in the very, very beginning, it is quite fatiguing. However, what eventually happens, and so that people are very clear what my agenda is, and I do have one, my agenda is to have 200 million masterful listeners by the year 2020, because I do believe in what's called the once we hit a critical mass, things will shift on the planet, and all we have to do is listen. Sounds very simple. It is easy? No, because it really means that we need to bring ourselves present every nanosecond. So I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to my courses, and they say, well, yeah, but if I'm listening, you know, what kind of answer am I going to come to? Here's the formula. When you are listening in the very space, in the very interaction of listening, we together are in communion. We transmit energy back and forth between each other, and in that energy that we are transmitting back and forth as we are listening, there's a speaker and there's a listener, there is a phenomenon that happens called Gestalt. It's a German word, and it means that we pick up the entire communication, essence, feeling, history, past, all of it in that communication when we are listening. Now, for those of us who are A-type behaviors, and I fall in that category, means we have to get it all, we have to get it all right away, and we have to get it right, and we have to be excellent and all that, we immediately become logical, which is, did I get it right? Is this what you really say? Maybe you're saying this. Instead of that kind of interaction, instead of that kind of, quote, communication, end quote, staying fully focused, and that's a word that many of the people that I work with appreciate very much, but they do know how to focus. When you stay focused on someone's communication, like what they are saying, not what you think, and here's the key word, not what you think they're going to say, not what you think they ought to say, not what you think they should say, because thinking takes us out of the present moment. We're busy formulating how we're going to respond. That's not listening. That's hearing. So the work that I do really emphasizes staying present to exactly what the speaker is saying. And yes, you will pick up nuances. You will pick up a number of things. You will pick up several levels in listening. Here's the good news. You'll be right. And I don't know, I haven't met a human being yet who doesn't like being right, especially when it comes to communication. And so listening is a magnetic force. It's a strange thing. It's a creative force. When a person experiences that they have been heard, an amazing thing happens. They get highly productive. They also begin to get well. They also begin to honor themselves in a way that they had not prior to experiencing being heard. What we did was listen. And it's like we're a mirror. It's like an echo. We send something out and it reverberates back. That's really one of the major forces of listening. Now, I have constructed 9 tools. They're very practical. They're very easy. And most likely you've gone over them with your group. And I'm going to go through each one of those 9 tools and really give some teeth to what those tools really are designed to do. One, those 9 tools are really designed for us to live them. That's different from practicing them, because there are people who can practice very, very well and never live them. They practice them, and as soon as they're away from anybody else, then they revert back to their communication style. I am not negating anybody's communication style. What I am emphasizing is be aware of what your communication style is. Most of this population, our generation, our culture, we interrupt people, whether we interrupt them verbally, as in out loud, we interrupt them with our thoughts, we interrupt and finish people's sentences. This creates in the physical body what's called toxins. And so by the end of the day, we have been so accustomed to being interrupted that we wonder why we're so exhausted at the end of the day, or how come we're so tired, or how come we're so finished the sentence, whatever it is, how come we are so. It is directly related to the communications that we have been exposed to throughout the day. So the communication tools are to be lived, as in practiced, at least daily for 30 days. So what does this mean, practice? It means when I am practicing the tool brevity, it means that I need to be brief. Not only do I need to get to the bottom line to make my point and be concise and clear, I need to be brief. I was I my calls start at 2:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time every day because I have clients in Israel, and we are 9 hours behind them. And so I have early morning calls, and I had an early morning call today, and I asked the question of one of my clients, and I asked her the question, are you on track with your project? And she's getting ready to build a center. She has an institute. She wants to build an institute called the Institute of Happiness, and she has a series of tools that she's offering to the people in Israel. And I said, are you on track? And she said, well, I'm not sure if I'm on track, but, you know, here's what I want to do. And then next year I want to do this. I said, wait a minute. Are you on track? The answer is yes or no. So how do you work with someone when you want a simple yes or no question? Well, I'm not at all advocating that people are rude, that people are blunt, or that people are insensitive. I'm not advocating that. And I am advocating that people are direct. And so one of the ways to have brevity for ourselves and brevity for other people, especially long-winded people, is to ask the question, did you answer my question? Did you answer my question? What it does is it brings the person present to whether or not they answered your question. Now, you may have to ask that question 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 10, maybe 20 times to get to the answer of brevity. What you are doing as you take that on that process is you are now retraining your communication environment to communicate with you in a way that's effective for both of you. And I've had people say, well, I can't be that rude. That's not rude. That's actually one of the most sensitive and generous things you can do. What's really rude that people don't recognize is that we ignore it and we move on to something else. That is communication rudeness. Instead of making sure that that point has been made, the summation is clear and concise. Brevity is getting to the bottom line without, and I love this part, without unnecessary explanations. Because my client gave me lots of explanations about how come she was doing this. I said, don't need the explanations. I do not need the, I call them accessories. I don't need the accessories. Simply answer the question, are you on track? Her answer was, yes. I said, good. Now, what's phase one for being on track? So we could move on to the very next part of what needed to happen for her, which is being in action. Now, here's another distinction that people do collapse again, the distinction between thinking about it and taking a physical action. Most people take the interpretation that because they're thinking about it, they're in action. And people will say, well, let me think about it. Like, that's an action? That's not a physical action. That's an intellectual action that's nothing more than being on the gerbil wheel because you're going around and around and around and around. Physical action is what makes a difference. It is what produces something. So if you're going to think about it, then the homework that I give people is, okay, take 20 minutes after this call, write down 20 reasons why you would do this and 20 reasons why you wouldn't do this, and an action for each reason, a physical action for each reason why you would and a physical action for each reason why you wouldn't. That gets people moving, and it gets the energy moving. This is all part of communication, because all action is communication, including no action. That is a communication. And when people are thinking about it, they're not in action, and so nothing happens. In the work that I do, very often people get so, what they call, overwhelmed, is that they go into paralysis. Well, their only paralysis that exists is in their head, because all the other limbs on their bodies are working. So they're not paralyzed. And yes, they are stopped for the moment of being in action. So it's very important to have people be in action. So brevity requires that you be present. Brevity requires that you answer the question directly. And if you don't get an answer to your question, if you don't get a response, a clear response to your statement, then keep asking until you do, and keep it brief. Now, I know that for this particular call, I have spent time on brevity, and I wanted to make sure, which is long-winded. However, I wanted to emphasize, I am emphasizing that how brevity gets distorted. Make your point, move on, with no stories, no explanations, and you will become a very effective communicator in terms of brevity and supporting others to be brief. The next tool for effective communication is acknowledgement. Now, this isn't the same as a compliment. And what I've discovered, especially since I've been working in the completion of my doctorate, which, by the way, it'll be a year old this December, so it's still real new and recent for me, and I'm just pleased after working on it for 8 years. When I was doing my research in terms of acknowledgement, what I discovered is that people who go into the helping profession, network marketing, medicine, attorneys, anything that's helping, they have a listening called not good enough, better than. And so there is a listening that comes with everything that they're doing. This is a listening for themselves and a listening for others. And in acknowledgement, this is a real challenge for people who have that particular type of listening, because that type of listening creates a lid on recognizing and acknowledging and accepting and appreciating. These are the three A's: acknowledgement, acceptance, and appreciation for the performance that they have already had, the production they have already produced. It's a challenge for them to say, wow, I just completed this. What happens for that kind of listening, and it's an automatic listening, what happens is, yeah, I could have done better, or that wasn't good enough, let me move on. They don't take time to acknowledge what they have done so that it becomes a stepping stone and a foundation for them to move to the next level, the next level, the next level. And so acknowledgement is a style of speaking. It's a way of exchanging the contribution. Now, many of us have been in a communication, have been in a conversation, whether it was social or it was a lecture or it was information gathering, whatever it may have been, we have all been at some time in our life in a conversation where we had no idea what happened to that conversation. We were talking with someone and all of a sudden something happened, something changed. And we're left in this void, like, what happened? Did you hear me? Did you not hear me? Some people are married to people like that. They'll talk to their spouse and the spouse will change the subject, as in they don't even know what the spouse did with that subject. Or we have children who do that. Or we have parents who do that. We have teachers who do that. So acknowledgement in this particular style has to do with really letting the person know exactly what you did with what they said. So an example of acknowledgement would be, Mary Jo, thank you so much. I appreciate being on this call. And what that means to me is that you have partnered with me to realize and visualize my dream of 200 million masterful listeners by the year 2020. That's an acknowledgement, because now Mary Jo knows what I did with her introduction to me and what this means to me. Now, she may have gotten off the call and she gave a great introduction and I could have said, thank you, Mary Jo, and then just dashed off. However, what's happened out of my acknowledgement of what that meant to me is a way of completing the communication loop. And that is something that most communicators do not do, is complete the communication loop, which is a distinction between a masterful communicator and someone who's a pretty good listener. And there's a lot of pretty good listeners. And one of their areas for development, and notice I'm not saying weakness, because that's not something I think is true. I think people have areas that need to be developed. I do not think that they are weak. I think they have areas that to be developed. So one of the areas to be developed is the ability to acknowledge when someone has given you a communication that is useful and that is valid for you. So acknowledgement is essential in maintaining high energy. And when you acknowledge people, all of a sudden their energy increases. Truly, it's like they begin to create their own endorphins. And one of the things about acknowledgement is that it closes the communication loop, and now the speaker is complete, and now the listener is complete because they know what happened. The next tool is empowered listening. Now, this is directly related to the physics theory that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. When you choose how to listen to a person a certain way, there is no possibility for you to listen to them any other way. Uncle, who has just recently passed, and prior to his demise, I certainly listened to him as an is jerk. My Uncle Bill was a jerk. Whatever he said, it came out of jerkdom. And I don't care what he said to me, this was a jerk speaking. That was the only thing that was in that space until I started to use capable or respect. When I started to listen to my Uncle Bill in the space of respect, everything he said to me came across as respectful, even in his humor, even in the things that seemed to be off color, even in the things that seemed to, in the past, I took issue with him, I got my feelings hurt about him. When I shifted to listening to my Uncle Bill with respect, he had a terrific sense of humor. He was as good as Robin Williams, the great comedian. Because I shifted my listening in terms of listening to him. Because no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. It is common for people to come to the listening course that I direct, and they go back and say, you know, my mother-in-law changed. You know, my husband changed. You know, my child changed. My teacher changed, my boss changed. No, they didn't. Nobody changed except your listening. You chose an empowered listening. And especially in network marketing. Because there are some people that we prospect that are prospected in network marketing. And we absolutely have already decided in our listening how they're going to be as a prospect. They're not going to really be a business builder. They're not really going to be much more than a product consumer. They're not going to be more than whatever you finish the sentence. With that kind of listening, that person doesn't stand a chance. We also have a listening in for people that is, well, they're going to disappoint me because they're not capable. We don't think actively that they're not capable. We interact with them, though, that they're not capable. We give them much more than they need rather than find out, how do I best work with you? Do I work with you as an already established leader? Do I work with you as capable? How do I work with you? How do I make sure that you are successful in this business? That's empowered listening. And you have to pay attention and keep asking that question, how do I best work with you? Is this serving you? Empowered listening is about leadership, capability, or respect. And you can use all three, and you can use all three for different people. No one person comes with one particular, this is not a cookie cutter, so no one person comes with a particular die cast. You will need to listen, which means stay present with the person in front of you to find out the best way to work with them so that they are successful and productive. So empowered listening is actually choosing the form of listening that opens the way for one to be authentic and to listen to the message and hear what is being spoken as intended by the speaker. And if you're not clear what they're saying, ask them. And I've had people say, oh, I can't ask them. They think I'm stupid. They think I'm not listening. Well, people are absolutely, this has been my experience over the last 46 to 50 years, people are thrilled when they find out that you really are listening. Listening indicates that you have an interest. And I know that when I truly listen to people, they're clear that I have an interest in them. But the other thing about listening, it's one of the most intimate, non-intrusive things you can do, is to listen. And in that moment of listening, we are as intimate as two human beings can get. And after that, we're done. We do not have to have this long-lasting, die-hard, wonderful, forever, 90-year relationship. In that moment, you and I have existed in the same place at the same time in a communion which has had me listen to you, get your message, receive your message, and be able to take the appropriate action or have the appropriate response that empowers you and empowers me. So empowered listening is choosing the listening that is going to be the best for that particular situation. The next tool, being heard. Being heard is a very popular tool in that most people, it's popular because most people think being heard has to do with not finishing their sentences. And they don't finish their sentences by saying, well, you know, when I was prospecting, you know, and I got this material out, you know, and then I call this person, you know, and they haven't finished one sentence and wonder why their communication wasn't clear. The reason their communication was not clear is that they did not finish their thought. They finished their thought with, you know. That is lazy communication. This one takes an enormous amount of practice. This is why I call it popular, because most of the population, when you start to truly listen, you will be amazed at how many people, including yourself, perhaps, uses you know. And that is a lazy form of communication. So you are automatically setting yourself up not to be heard, not to have people understand you, and not to be with you as a partner and have your goals and visions realized. So being heard means, one, the listener needs to be still, and the speaker needs to be clear. And so one of the phrases that I offer people regularly is, the phrase is, for my clarity, did you say A, B, C, and D? And for my clarity, will you repeat what you just heard me say? Now, when I have introduced that to people, I can't say that to people. They'll think I think they weren't listening. Well, do not be surprised that they may have checked out. It is not uncommon for people to check out during a conversation, which means drift off, think about something else. Even during this call, people have drifted off. They have gone off and thought about something else. That's not an indictment. It is what happens when we are, quote, hearing versus listening. And so listening requires that we do not drift off. Now, what's the honest thing to do? What's the generous thing to do? What's the integrity thing to do? To tell someone, you know what, I just drifted off. Would you say that again? For my clarity, I just drifted off. I was thinking about something else. I'm back. Would you say it again? You have full permission to do that. As a matter of fact, people appreciate it. That has certainly been my experience, that people appreciate that you were honest enough to say, I stopped listening for that minute. Would you say that again? They're not insulted. What is insulting and what is rude is for people to go off and balance their checkbook and wonder if they turned off the lights and did they get the gas filled in the car, those kinds of things, while somebody is speaking in front of them. That's rude, and that is not complete communication. To acknowledge that I just drifted off, I'm back, say it again, that is communion. That is communication. I am now back with you, I'm present, and I'm interested in your message. So being heard requires participation on the part of the speaker, meaning, for my clarity, would you let me know what you heard? And on the listener, for my clarity, let me make sure that I heard A, B, C, and D. This will go a long way in terms of creating high productivity between listener and speaker, manager and managee, or mentor and mentee, or anyone else with whom you have established a partnership. The next tool is boldness. And boldness is about being authentic. One of the primary requisites for boldness is you have to be present to be bold. You cannot be present in the future, and you cannot be present in the past. Those are non sequiturs, and they don't exist. Boldness can only exist in the future, in the present, excuse me. Boldness can only exist in the present. And boldness is about being authentic and true to the moment. One of the phrases that I use as an example is, people say, let's go to lunch. Let's do lunch. I live here in California, and I, with tongue in cheek, often say, the LA thing to do is say, let's do lunch. A Los Angeles thing to do is, let's do lunch. And people say, yes, let's do lunch. And, of course, it doesn't happen. The true thing to do in that moment is, if that person is the last person on this planet with whom you would do lunch, then the true, authentic thing to say is, thank you very much for the invitation, and I'm not available, and thank you for thinking of me. Period. Because if you would never have lunch with that person, why would you lie and say, yes, let's do lunch, when you have no intentions of ever doing lunch? Give me a call. Yes, I'll give you a call. If you never intend to call that person, then tell the truth. Right now, my schedule is such that I will not be able to give you a call for a very long time. So thank you very much for thinking of me. Thank you very much for the invitation. And right now, my schedule will prevent that. That's the truth. And so that's boldness. And that's the truth. And people can get it. At least you've told the truth. And one of the things that you're modeling is how to be generous and gracious and let people know, this is what's so for me. And out of that, people will get the permission that it's also okay for them. Well, if they can do it, so can I. Now, you have no control over whether or not people get their feelings hurt or that you don't have anything to do with that. If they chose to take that particular phrase personally as a rejection, that has nothing to do with you. They were rejection waiting to happen. And so they just took your sentence and used it for themselves. One of the things that happens in communication is to be very aware when you are present. You can be aware of people who are committed to the word called pathos. The word pathos is Greek for suffering. And there are people who will look for any opportunity to suffer. And so suffering is optional. So if you said, thank you so much for the invitation, I'm not available, and if and when my schedule opens up, and that's the truth, if and when my schedule opens up, I will be in touch with you. If that's the truth for you, if and when my schedule opens up and there is time, I will make it a point to contact you, if that's the truth. If that's not the truth, don't even use the phrase, if and when my schedule opens up. Thank you very much for the invitation. My schedule is full, and I certainly have appreciated this time with you. Period. That's it. If they choose to suffer around that truth, that's their choice, and you didn't have anything to do with it. They were simply looking for an opportunity. So boldness is about being authentic. It's about speaking what is so in the moment, so that the facts are on the table. And it enables you to take appropriate actions based on the facts. Boldness naturally leads to brevity, and it eliminates beating around the bush. And I do want to address here a gender difference, because this is very important in terms of how women communicate and how men communicate. Women are socialized as girls. We are socialized to please the people. So my experience with women has been that being bold is more of a challenge for women to be bold, to say something like, no, I am unavailable to go to lunch. It seems to be more of a challenge for women to make that statement than it is for men. Men are not socialized to be pleasers in the same way that women are. It doesn't mean that they're not socialized to be pleased. It's just not the same. So what I'm saying here is, if women are finding it difficult to be bold, it has everything to do with our socialization. And the distinction that I'm making is, boldness is about authenticity. It is never about rudeness. It is never about being impolite. And it is never about being insensitive. Boldness is about telling the truth in the moment and eliminates being beating around the bush. The next tool, which is intuition. Fortunately, over these last two decades, intuition has started to receive great press, especially from our major corporations, Chrysler, Daimler, Cadillac, a number of other major automobile companies have started using the word intuition, which is like, wow. We even have products now called intuition. And prior to this last two decades, intuition was a word only socially acceptable for women to use. Men could use hunch, gut instinct, any other word except intuition. Fortunately, intuition is something we can all now use. I'm glad we've all caught up with the 21st century, and intuition is always right. 40 years ago, truly, when I discovered that I was always right when I used my intuition, I was a happy camper. One, because I like being right, and two, it just saves a whole lot of time. And every one of you on this call, when you have not paid attention to your intuition, you've gone, darn, I knew I should have done that. I mean, if you had a dollar for every time you ignored your intuition, I say at least half of you on this call would be multimillionaires by now. So using your intuition is an aspect of being that has no logic. It does not compute. You have no idea where it came from. It's called out of the blue. It simply is. And the good news is it's always right. How does that work in network marketing? Well, many, many, many network marketers are highly intuitive, and they don't trust it. Highly intuitive, and they don't trust it. Well, how do you begin to trust it? You start to practice using your intuition backed by your experience. Start hunching. Start using your instinct. You get a sense when somebody's going to come into your organization, and you get a sense when they're not. You can tell, truly tell, when you hang up the phone, whether or not that prospect is going to say yes or no. And immediately, many people go to logic. Well, maybe I didn't give them enough information. Well, I'll see. I probably did get them enough information. Maybe I didn't. But all of that back and forth, which I call the gerbil wheel, is going around and around and around. Had you paid attention to your first intuitive hit was, nope, they're not coming in, or yes, they are, you can rest assured that you got it. And when you hung up the phone, or when you left that prospect, or you were left the meeting, intuitively you knew what was going on. And then it got shifted to your logic and your intellect, and that's where the mischief began, and that's where the delay began. And ultimately, at some point, you knew that this prospect who did sign up for whatever reasons they said they were going to, or come into the business for whatever, they do deselect themselves. Well, intuitively, you knew that in the beginning. And what happens with intuition, and I will own up to this myself personally, very often when I get an intuitive hit about someone, there's an aspect to me that doesn't like the information. Like, there was 2 days ago, I was engaged in a conversation with someone, and I invited this person to become a coaching partner with me. And when he said, okay, let me give it some thought, and he said, and I know, Dr. Carroll, you don't let people think too long about their answers, so how long do I have? I said, you have between 24 and 48 hours to get back to me and give me an answer. He said, okay, we'll do. Well, I knew that he would do that. I got it. Intuitively, I knew that his answer was on track. When he hung up the phone, what I got was, he's not going to do it. And he called me back in 2 days, and he said, okay, you ready for my answer? And then he said to me, and you already know what my answer is, don't you? And I said, well, tell me. He said, I'm not going to do it. And you already knew that, didn't you? And the answer was, yes, I did. Now, the minute I hung up the phone, I said, he's not going to do it. I didn't like that answer. And so I went into, well, he's thinking about it. He's really mulling it over. No, I already got the answer. I knew. And so what there was for me to do was to patiently get on with the rest of my life and not hang out waiting for his answer. Certainly get on with the rest of my life in terms of whatever other actions I needed to take care of. And when he got back to me, I already had his answer. And I thanked him. I thanked him for telling the truth. And I thanked him for the opportunity for us to have had the conversation, and I moved on. Well, a lot of us don't like the intuitive answers we get. Well, too bad. You already got the answer, because intuition is never, ever, ever wrong. So for those of us who love being right, count on your intuition, because it's never wrong. Let me move further. The next tool is 99.1 MSU. 99.1 is 99% of the time when people are upset. When they are upset, 99% of the time, it has nothing to do with you. It really doesn't, unless they say, I am upset with you because you did A, B, C, and D. What happens very often in a listener-speaker combination is MSU, we, as the listener, make up. We must have done something. I had a great conversation with my daughter who, yesterday, she picked me up from the airport because I just completed a listening course. And she was sharing with me a lifelong friend of hers. She gave her a shower. Her lifelong friend is having a baby. And she gave her a baby shower. And the baby shower turned out the way it turned out, which was successful. And her friend said something to the effect of, well, you know, a lot of people didn't show up. And her friend was upset. And for a split second, my daughter went to making up, what did I do wrong? Well, she didn't do anything wrong. But what I'm pointing out is how quickly, when someone else is upset, we go to, what did I do wrong? And my daughter, very smartly and very wisely, said, oh, there's that MSU again. Now, I didn't do anything wrong. I did everything right in terms of I did what I intended to do, and it turned out to be successful for the people who came. And she was freed up immediately from making stuff up. Because 99-1 means the person is upset and all you did was show up. Like your name could show up. There are some people who can't even stand the name of certain people without them getting into a drama. They are a drama waiting to happen. And it's because they've already made up something about that person. MSU, making stuff up. So as network marketers, if somebody says, I'm going to call you at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, and they don't call at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, we are busy off on the making stuff up train. We have more stories going on as to how come they did not call us versus the fact that it's true that they did not call, period. That's all that happened. However, we have all of the reasons how come they didn't. So 99-1 MSU is the concept that 99% of the time when there's conflict and absent and upset, it has nothing to do with you. The 1% means you showed up, you were there, your name occurred, or whatever. MSU means we made it up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we live most of our lives making stuff up. So here's the opportunity to shift. How do you shift? Stay present in the moment and listen to only what's going on in front of you. And someone says, well, yeah, I'm driving a car. What am I listening to? Listen to the music. Definitely listen to the traffic patterns. Listen to what is going. Listen to your breathing. Listen to exactly what's going on in front of you. When you stop making stuff up, I can guarantee you this: you will have less stress. 99-1 MSU is the major factor in producing angst and stress in your life. If you want to stop the chatter in your head, what there is for you to do is catch when you're making something up. So how do you do that? You ask the question, am I making this up or is this real? Am I making this up or is this actually happening in front of me right now? The key word being now. Is it happening now? And the favorite answer is, no, it's not happening now, but it will. No, is it happening now? No, what it used to. No, is it happening now? It's a very popular question to ask. Is it happening now? Because if it isn't, you're making it up. Well, they implied, no, is it happening now? Did they say those exact words right now? I'm belaboring this point because the human race, spends 99.9% of its time in MSU. It will be an absolute miracle. 200 million masterful listeners will change the planet once we start listening. Because the only place we can listen is in the present moment. And in listening in the present moment, we don't have time to make anything up. There is no space for making stuff up because no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So 99-1 MSU is monumental in saving time and having projects end ahead of time, and having relationships be rich and soar to their greatest heights, and absolutely reducing stress. 99-1 MSU. Completion is the next tool. Completion is satisfaction in the present moment. Like, for now, I'm complete. Did I finish something? That has nothing to do with finishing. I was working with a CPA this past weekend, and he said, but I have taxes to do. Yes, and you have plenty of time to do the taxes. So when somebody brings their tax forms to you and you promise them that you're going to have it done by a certain time, do you complete certain segments? Complete the segment, not the whole tax return. Do you complete a segment? And he said, oh, I set it up so that I had to complete the whole tax return. I said, no. All you have to do is complete segments. It's that old statement called, how do you eat an elephant? It's called one bite at a time. A tax return is an elephant. Complete it one task at a time. Prospecting is an elephant. Complete the task one task at a time. Be complete one task at a time. And a completion allows for you to move to the next event with your full focus on that next event. Completion is about handling what's current in the moment effectively and efficiently. It doesn't mean the situation is finished. It means for now, you've gone as far as you can. Move on to the next action. The very last tool is coach action. This one, ladies and gentlemen, means that you begin to have people no longer push your button. Coach action means stop the drama. Coach action is about dealing with each situation in an appropriate moment. And most importantly, it's really about taking an action you wouldn't normally take. Using that tool, coach action, taking an action you wouldn't normally take. Someone asked me today, well, I have a partner that I love very much, and he corrects me all the time, he corrects me all the time. I said, what's the action that you wouldn't normally take? And she said, well, I don't normally listen to him. And I said, what do you think would happen if out of his correction you said, thank you, I hadn't seen it that way? What do you think would happen? She said, well, I don't think he would. She said, I think he'd pass out, number one, and number two, I don't think he'd stop correcting me. However, I think if the correction would be different. Maybe I wouldn't hear it as a correction, and maybe I would hear it as something he's offering me to support me because he loves me. I said, yeah. Now, in that case, you are no longer in the drama of his offering you something in terms of taking this action in a different way. I said, there's also another way that could support you to get out of the drama of his correction. You can actually invite your partner to think through something with you, which immediately bypasses his need to think for you, according to you. Ask him, think with me through this. He is ready and willing and will hop right on the job to support you to think through this, because that's really what he's after, is your best interest. It stops the drama, and that is something you wouldn't normally do. So a coach action is about dealing with each situation in an appropriate manner. It's looking for other ways to do things outside of how you would normally do them, and it develops flexibility immediately in a most effective and efficient way. I think I have taken up almost the entire hour, and am open to any questions that anyone might have. So,
Carol, I've got everybody on mute, so we can keep quietness. So let me unmute it, and then we'll open it up for questions. It was
okay. Terrific.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Overwhelmed, I should say. I'm copiously taking notes, and everything. This is terrific. Hang on a second. Let me get everybody online.
Okay.
Okay, do we have everybody back?
Yep.
There they are. And here's open question time, people, for the few minutes. We have about 5 minutes left. If you have some questions or some comments for Dr. Carol McCall.
Opportunity.
This is Luann. I have a question.
Yes, Luann.
You had mentioned about listening while driving, and I'm not sure I understood that clearly. For example, if we are listening to a tape or a CD while driving, are you saying that we're not really listening?
Yes. You can't, hold on, you are listening to the tape and the CD. Are you paying attention? Are you listening to your driving?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you, it's, I'm not saying don't listen to a tape or a CD while you're driving. I am saying be clear which one you're present to.
Got it.
Am I clear, Luann?
Yep, thank you. I understand that now.
Okay, good.
What? Dr. Carroll?
Yes.
In your
Hello.
Section, in your section on boldness, you had mentioned that women were socialized to please people, but you didn't say anything about men's paradigm. I didn't know if you had anything specific for men.
Yeah, men are socialized to be a lot bolder than women, as in it's about being performance. So men are socialized to perform, and in performance, performance means competition, and that's not a negative for men, competition. That's part of how you are socialized as a man. So boldness comes in competition.
What?
Am I answering your question?
Okay.
Am I answering your question? Hello?
Yes, Dr. Carroll. I'm sorry. I was muted there.
Okay. Did I answer your question in terms of the distinction between boldness and performance?
Yes, you did.
Okay, great.
Appreciate it.
Manatech, let me highlight something, too, that came up for me, Carol, when I was listening to you, because when we get into intuition that, and the intuition that we have, I think that a lot of men workers, when they are working with a prospect, and they get done working with them, and they walk away, and they come to conclusions about the person, like, oh, they're never going to sign up because of this, this, this. I think that we have to draw the distinction between intuition
yes.
and own rationalization about why I'm not going to follow up.
Yeah, it's called making, that's excellent, because intuition, they got something. However, what they immediately do is make stuff up.
That's what they do.
That's the distinction.
I'm telling you, we are terrific at doing that. I coach that all the time. My people are absolutely terrific at making stuff up and then trying to say, well, that was my intuition. Like, no, you just made all that up.
Exactly. Here's the beauty about intuition. Intuition never announces itself. It never says, that's my intuition.
Right.
Can I shut this off?
Yes. Yes, hello?
I think beside you were just picking up talk. Okay, so the clarity around that is people, you know, when you start talking about, when you're talking to somebody, you start making stuff up about why they're not going to sign up. Don't read that as intuition. It's not
correct.
Yeah, it's stuff that you're. It's the MSU.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. It's
how do you
MSU.
Know if it's your self doubt or it is your intuition? How do you really know?
Yes, anytime you have self doubt, it's not intuition.
How do you
there
know
is,
it's not your intuition? It is.
Well, because there is no self doubt in intuition. There isn't. If you, there are times when, yeah, one of the beautiful things about intuition is absolute. It's one of those solid things. Like, I could ask you something about yourself that you know about yourself, and I would say, well, how do you know? You don't have any doubt about it. You simply know. For example, if I said to you, would you murder your next-door neighbor? You could say, no. Well, how do you know? It's something you know, yes?
Yes.
So there's no self-doubt there, is there?
Oh. I got
right.
you. Thank you. Maybe obvious to you, it wasn't to me. Thanks for the clarity.
Yeah. You're very welcome. Are there any other questions? Mary Jo, I really am excited about having done this, and I know that you and I are going to, I do have a course coming up on the telephone, as a matter of fact, a woman's course over the phone, teleconference, people don't have to fly or sign into hotels, October 26, 27, and 28, and it's from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. The 26th, which is a Thursday, Friday, which is the 27th, and then Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. On the phone, it's a course for women, and it has to do with listening skills, and it's the first time I'm doing it as a teleconference call. And anyone who's interested, they can join it and call me, go to my website and call me from the website or email me from the website. It's only $99. And then you and I have an opportunity to speak about bringing a course to Dallas. And I would love to do that. And the listening course is only $99.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And we're definitely going to do that here in Dallas. So
can I get website or phone number, please?
The website is Listening Profits, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, the letter U dot com, listeningprofitsu.com. Phone number 888-728-9975. Thank you, Paul. This has been...
Sorry, would you repeat your website again?
I will send it out by I'll send it out by email, everybody, so all you'll get it if you're on my email list, because I'm doing notes. ListeningProfitsU, the letter U, dot com.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. You bet.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for being here.
You were terrific. Thank you very much. It was great. Thank you, everybody.
Hello, Dr. Carol?
Oh. Yes.
Thank you so very much. For the first time, I dropped everything I was doing and took notes, and I listened so much better that my notes are better than ever.
Could I please get your number again, because somebody called me. I have 888-728-9975. That's correct.
That's correct.
Thank you. Mary
Jo,
how can I get on your email list? Just get on my website, manatrain.net. Manatrain? Yeah.
Okay.
Like Manatech, except train instead of tech. Okay?
Yes,
and this one there, it says join the Yahoo email list, mm-hmm. and you'll be on. Okay?
Let's see, recorded at Manatrain. Hey, Jo?
Yeah.
Will this be re-recorded on... You can hear it again.
Absolutely, and I'm going to do an outline from my notes, so I'll post that. Okay?
I got a presidential. I'm going to pass this on to. This was great.
Oh, it's terrific, terrific,
amazingly
wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks, everybody. All right, thank you again, Carol. Appreciate everything. Everybody, jump into listening skills. Boy, do we need them, huh? Of course, none of us. What did you say? I loved your comment. Wait. Let me get this out. I hope we have time for me to repeat it because I loved it. It says none of our people are weak. We just have areas to be developed. Ta-da! So I will never tell people, oh, are we terrible in listening skills? I'll just say we just have developed. Okay. Anyway, love you guys, and I will talk again. All right. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you.